What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
London's calling for me, Jackson. I'll tell you that right now. Nailed it again. The train from New York to London in an hour. It only costs $220 trillion, and it takes 700 years to build, but we're on top of it.
And you once
Greg
lived
is en route to Miami, and he'll be back Monday. Courtney and Wiggy are in studio. I'm down here in Jupiter. We have concluded the news. We're halfway home, and I have just one thing for you guys, which has been, you know, I don't know how seriously to take it, because has anybody taken the Dakota story, which, if you're just joining us, Dakota was on social media yesterday saying that the Celtics are in the process of trying to offload the contract of Jaylen Brown in advance of the sale of the team. Has anybody said anything about this, good, bad, or indifferent? Has there been any confirmation or anybody saying, you know, doing the Marchand rebuke? Has there been any of that?
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
So I don't think that there is any truth to this. And it's just another year where Jaylen Brown's name is being thrown out there. Like, yeah, it's year after year after year. So.
The only thing is, I think people just talking about it, whether or not, you know, is there any truth to it? But Courtney,
so is this sort of the reaction that the team has been underperforming, so people are trying to theorize as to why they have been?
I don't. I wouldn't say that it even would relate to the team being on, you know, on the performing. I just think this is something that Dakota had, that he came, you know, out of nowhere. I don't think it, you know, I don't think this is something to rally the team or whatever. I mean, that's what some of the rumors were in the Rich Keefe thing, was, oh, maybe this is something to light a fire on their ass. No, I don't know. I think, I don't know. I guess you'd have to ask Dakota, you know, why this was brought up, and if it was just brought up because to get a better value. What was he saying? A better valuation for
that the team sale is reliable. But that also doesn't really make sense, because who's ever buying the team can make the trade themselves. Like, right. I don't.
And imagine buying the team the year after they won the championship and your second best player, they're trying to ship out. I'd be like, wait a minute, let me make these decisions.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. We see you on the line, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Dave in New Hampshire on line 2.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
How are you, Dave?
Hey, so as everybody knows, Chris Curtis has been pretty accurate on the college football predictions. And I wanted to hear what you think is going to happen with Ohio State and Notre Dame.
So I had a big thud coming back down to – thank you, Dave, for the call. I had a big thud last week when I picked Texas over Ohio State.
Yeah.
Ohio State's so good. I can't – What is it, 9 now, Wiggs?
Nine. Some places have it at 8.
Eight or 9. Yeah, I think Ohio State wins by 2 touchdowns, but I Notre Dame has had a sneaky great defense. Marcus Freeman is a defensive mind. I would not feel confident, but if I had to make a pick either way, I think Ohio State covers that on Monday night. What do you think, Wiggs?
Yeah, I we talked about this a little bit yesterday. You know, obviously Marcus Freeman taking on his alma mater in Ohio State. To me, it always comes down to the play of the quarterback. You know, when you watch, whether it's the NFL, whether it's college, high school, it doesn't matter, especially in big games. And I just wonder, based on just Riley Leonard versus Will Howard, I would lean to taking Ohio State's Will Howard. They have more talent when it comes to their ability to throw the football. And I don't know how Notre Dame is going to be able to keep up if you can get a kid, if you get Jeremiah Smith, who's able to pop, or what the hell's the other kid's name? And Buka, the other wide receiver.
Yeah.
So that to me is going to be the biggest thing. You got the kid Scott at the tight end position.
Are you betting on this or no?
I probably wouldn't bet on it because obviously I don't want Notre Dame to win because of the the hall pass that my wife has for Marcus
Will
Freeman.
She be watching?
She dips in and out. only when they show Marcus Freeman. But I
don't think I'd use that terminology. Yeah. But
it's all good. But I'd probably have to, if I had a bet on it, I'd probably bet Ohio State. Mm.
All right, let's go back to the calls. Mike in Framingham. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Courtney.
Yes.
Hello? So earlier you were saying that it's like a slippery slope what Deion Sanders is doing, how he wants his kid to go to a certain team. This isn't new. I mean, just off the top of my head, John Elway, Eli Manning, and Bo Jackson, they did not want to go to the teams that drafted them.
Yeah, we talked about that when I brought this up. Wiggy and Curtis both said this. I just think that right now, coming off the LeBron situation, it's becoming more and more relevant when you've got dads that are actually playing in the league or could potentially be coaching in a league. And I think it's a bad look. Like that's just my opinion. Uh-huh. And I think that it's a slippery slope when it comes to this happening more frequently.
See, I look at Deion and go, okay, he knows better than anybody else. Like the LeBron situation is more like just LeBron using his juice to get his kid into the league.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, his kids holding down the end of the bench and bouncing back and forth down to the G League. The Deion situation with his kid, Deion arguably is one of the greatest corners to ever play the game. He knows the inner workings of how the NFL works. And with his kid being an offensive player and especially being a quarterback, he understands how an organization can ruin a quarterback and basically turn him into a bust in 2 or 3 years. I mean, think about all the top 5 quarterbacks that we've talked about being bust.
Yeah.
And so he might be like, well, I don't want you going to this organization.
Yeah, I think that's just nepotism at its finest. And everybody, because if you're a nepo baby and your dad's Deion Sanders, if you are connected in that way, you have like an inside look where other quarterbacks who could be getting drafted don't have that same feeling. My lead was basically, it's very interesting to see the vitriol that was thrown at LeBron James whenever he spoke about Bronny, and there's not really any when it comes to Deion. It just shows the hate for LeBron.
I know that. I would say the nepo.
But I would say, Wiggs, quickly, think that the issue with LeBron was that his son would not be in the league.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's very different, I think, to get a guy. I mean, I didn't care, candidly. The nepotism exists in sports. If you're going to get rid of nepotism, then the people that own the team can't just hand it off to their kids because there's no more powerful position and no more sign of nepotism than that. Mm-hmm. But I would say that with LeBron, there are guys that try to get into the NBA that may not get an opportunity because some theorize that Bronny wouldn't be there if his dad wasn't, whereas Shadur's going to be in the NFL no matter what.
Right.
Yeah, but it's still the same outcome as a parent using their success to help their child.
Yeah, but I don't think Deion is doing is he's...
Well, they're saying like the Browns are going to reconsider how they're planning the draft this coming year. So, he can say whatever he wants, but it could actually affect...
Well, no, I think what Deion is saying, I played in the league. I know what the league can do to young quarterbacks, especially when they're that drafted that high. I don't want my son going to an organization like the Browns because they don't know how to handle him. They're not going to do a good job with him. And so Deion just using like his knowledge of what the being in the NFL, the same way Arch Manning used his knowledge to say, I don't want my kid going to the Chargers. And I get that element, and especially when you're talking about quarterbacks, other positions it might be easy. Like, you know, like Marvin Harrison Jr. last year, his dad isn't going to go, well, I'm going to stop my kid from going here because, you know, all you got to do is throw him the football. Where the quarterback, we've seen so many, and we've seen him in other positions, and Deion is doing that. Now, I don't agree with it, and I like I said to you, but I understand where Deion's coming from.
Well, B. Banga said, holy crap, she can't let go when she's obviously wrong, so he does not agree with me just having that point. So,
no, I think you make fine points. I think the other issue is that like I feel like everybody, if we found ourselves in a similar position, would do exactly what Deion's doing. No matter what we tell ourselves from afar, that if you have an opportunity to guide your child in a way that can help them for future success, you may tell yourself not to do it, but when push comes to shove, you will. And I guarantee you, when Arch Manning is going to the NFL draft, they will redo the draft board entirely for him. And it's not right, it's not fair, but just like if you're born the son of Deion, you have a better shot of being in the NFL than if you're my kid, unfortunately for James.
Yeah, 2012 Lack put it perfectly in Twitch. If you believe in your son, he can go anywhere and turn a franchise around. If you have to handpick a team, he stinks.
Yeah, but that's
right,
not
but if you believe in your kid, like your mom believes in you, but she still wants to know you're getting home okay.
Right, but
like,
that's not true, and I think he knows that in the world of watching football. How many times have we talked about horrible coaches ruining quarterbacks? Like, so that element, yeah, your kid might have talent, but if he goes to a horrible situation and the coaches in the organization don't know what they're doing, it doesn't matter how talented that kid is, they're going to put him in bad situations. So we always talk about that, like with Drake May. What are we talking about with Drake May? What's the number one thing? Who's going to
be? Don't ruin him.
Don't ruin him. Who's going to be his offensive coordinator? Mm-hmm. And if you're somebody who has been in the league, whether it's a Deion, whether it's, you know, Arch, like, you know, you brought up Arch Manning. So even though his dad, Cooper, was in the league, his, both of his uncles played in the league, his, you know, his grandfather played in the league, they're going to say, well, we wanted you to go to the best possible destination so you can have the best chance of being successful. It just doesn't, like, that's the one position I think you can definitely break a guy more than any other position. You know, if you're a defensive player, guess what? Go get the quarterback. Doesn't matter who you play
for. Because you've said two things. Like, so you're okay with Deion doing this or no?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with him doing it. Yeah, I don't have an issue.
I would say 617-779-7937. I think another great lead from Courtney. Where are you on this? And also, is the college pro model becoming blurred to the point where it's going to change how we do these drafts and build NFL teams going forward with the amount of NIL money? We'll get to all that. Coming up at 8:45, Jackson will give you the five true meanings of life. And coming up right now.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Courtney has what's trending. Rejoins? You know, I think Greg gives you too hard of a time, Jackson. These rejoins have been perfect. Father of Mine, talking nepotism, Deion Sanders, Mike Lombardi there on the Pat McAfee Show. Saying nothing to see here when it comes to Bill Belichick not signing his contract. That was the breaking news yesterday out of CBS.
But what else would he say? That's what everybody's going to say.
Right. Exactly.
When it comes to Mike Lombardi sticking up for him, well, what else would he say?
Well, it is kind of embarrassing that your life is just standing there saying everything Bill Belichick says. But we all have to do things to make money. I mean, that's literally his whole existence. What else has he done?
Yeah, now he's the GM of UNC. So yeah. I think that's right. And it shows the loyalty factor that Belichick has with Lombardi and Lombardi has with him. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the Courtney said off the top. I asked the Celtics Jaylen Brown quasi report and the CBS Sports John Jones report that Belichick had not signed his contract. Courtney said neither are a concern for her. Wiggy, you believe the Celtics more than you believe. Which one were you on?
I believe there's a little bit of truth to both of them. I think that Bill is ultimately going to coach this year at UNC and then next year be the year he decides to maybe jump back into the NFL. The Jaylen Brown thing is really, really interesting. I mean, if there's reports to this, I mean, that's just you trading your second best player. Or just having conversations about that with a guy whose name has been in trade talks for like the past 5 years, not very smart by the organization if there's any truth to that.
Yeah, I think that Bill Belichick will likely coach UNC and Jaylen Brown will be on the Celtics. For me, it's very simple in terms of, you know, I look at Deion Sanders and what he's doing and we talk about nepotism and how it, you know, manifest itself in these sports and how it's covered when it's one of the Mannings or Deion's kid or whatever, or LeBron. I watch when you have an opportunity to put your name to something and you don't sign it. Like, I'm sorry, when Bill Belichick was a GM and a player didn't sign a franchise tag, it wasn't just taking his word for it. You had to sign the actual contract. And the fact that he has it is interesting to me. Maybe 20% chance he goes to the NFL if an opportunity arises. And I think that there's no way that the Celtics would trade Jaylen Brown to make the team more valuable. It just doesn't make sense. So if I had to pick one, I would go with the Lombardi one. I would also just say that if you had to pick which one would be more successful sooner if they stay at their current job, Vrabel or Belichick, I think Belichick will have far more success if he sticks around at UNC in the first 2 to 3 years than Vrabel with the Patriots.
Yeah, because it's a little bit easier to turn a college program around than
and
it
he'll
is.
He'll be able to recruit. I mean, that's a destination now.
Yeah, that's a destination because one thing that he has in his back pocket or in all, you know, we talk to Billy O all the time. A lot of these kids, yeah, they got the money for the NILs. You know, they got the money. Maybe they don't have the type of money that an Alabama or a Georgia has. But the one thing that they have that some of those other schools don't have is they can get their kids to the NFL a lot quicker and a lot easier just because of Bill Belichick's name and his relationship with whether it's – I mean, think about how many people are off his tree that are going to be coaching in the NFL. So having that type of credibility would – if I'm a kid or I'm a dad of a kid, I would say NIL is great, but this guy can get you to the NFL – we're going to UNC.
Don't you think that Bill Belichick being the head coach, though, a lot of companies, brands are going to want to offer NIL deals to to guys playing under him.
But remember how NIL works. I don't think a lot of people understand it. And Dion explained it pretty good. NILs are basically name, image, and likeness. Right?
For endorsements.
Right.
Right. But most of these kids.
That would be it.
Right. But most of these kids are getting paid off of the collective. The collective is the money that the school gets.
Right.
Right? It's separate from the NILs. So the only real, because Dion said it this way, how many college football kids do you see doing commercials?
Very little.
How many college football kids, like if
but,
you.
But wait. In the markets, a lot. Like no, I'm no, sure no, no. in Tuscaloosa.
No, but and if you really look, Curtis, if you go to their social media pages, the NIL is, you know, you're getting maybe the Shadors and the Travis Hunters. But a lot of these kids are getting the money through the collective. So, Carson Beck goes to Miami. There's a report out there that he got a $4 million deal. That is coming from the collective. That is the money that the school got, that the school was able to raise through boosters and everything else and saying, okay, if you come here, here's what we can pay you. You don't need to go out and do social media and... Because that's what the NIL was originally thought to be.
Yeah, I just think of UNC like a BC where they have a lot of wealthy, affluent alum who are probably going to be putting a lot of money when it comes to the collective for Bill Belichick to get whoever he wants he is the head coach.
They have $20 million now. That's the report out of there. And it would be, and I know he would never tell us, but it would be interesting to see what BC's collective is.
Yeah, I'm sure that's gone up.
Right? And so
I think we actually just got to $25 yesterday.
So, and Curtis, but that's really the way that they're able to get some of these kids. And it's great that we talked to Billy O about it because if you go to a lot of these kids' social media, they're not promoting brands or promoting companies on their social media. I'm telling you, go look and you'll see a lot of these kids don't do that because the money that they're getting is from the collective and it's basically like, Here's $2 million. You don't have to do anything, but we're able to kind of raise this money and that. But Belichick will have the ability to do that. But Bill having the ability to sit in the kid's house and say, I can get you to the NFL. I mean, that's priceless.
I would ask you this, Wiggs, as someone who knows Bill better than any of us, if he was given truth serum today and asked if he would rather be coaching the Saints or North Carolina, what would he say?
Saints.
Right.
All day long.
So, and that's going to exist as long as he is this close to breaking that record, as long as there still is that bad blood with the Robert Kraft treatment of him on the way out the door and everything else, there will be a desire. And candidly, I'm always called the Belichick hater. I think it's obscene that Nick Sirianni is coaching the Eagles right now. Mm-hmm. That is the dumbest waste of talent. Nick Sirianni seems like a very nice guy, a great daddy. Brings him on the, you know, to the press conference when he has a bad game. But you are not doing everything in your power to win if you have a roster that is as talented as the Eagles is, and you have a guy in Nick Sirianni operating it at this time of the year.
And let me just say, Carson Beck has a big deal with Chipotle, as it looks on Instagram. So seems like he's doing just fine.
I am shocked that BC basketball doesn't have a good Chipotle deal.
Yeah, but if you really look, if you go to, you know, Cam Ward, if you really look and you go to their social media pages, a lot of these.
Yeah, they don't have ads every day, but they that Chipotle ad is probably worth, you know, over $1 million. Like,
but the majority of them are getting the money from the collective. And, you know, we'll interview, and, you know, I think this is a great question to ask. We'll ask Billy O next week, but the majority of these kids are getting the money through the collective. And usually that's why there was just this thing on one of these college football shows, and Trent Dilfer was on there talking. He coaches for UAB, and he's in the AAC, and he was talking about how other schools, there's a couple schools in the AAC, which I believe it's probably like Memphis, and I can't remember maybe Tulane, are able to outbid guys on their roster because they have more money in the collective to say, okay, you're a starter on our roster at UAB. Come to Tulane. We'll give you $50,000. You might be a backup, but you're getting more money than UAB's able to offer. So they're stealing some of these starters, and they're just using them as backup because of the collective. And that's the majority of where these kids are making their money from. So if you're like Belichick, you're able to go out and get those boosters and, you know, former alumni people that are able to get those players to come in. That's what Portnoy did with the kid Bryce Underwood.
Yeah.
He was able to get the lady's husband, who's that rich dude, to say, hey, we'll give you what you want.
Yeah, speaking of sponsors, I feel like Wiggy and the Woman should get a sponsor pretty soon, looking at those numbers before Christmas break. Sheesh, Wiggy and the Woman
pretty
with
good.
Razor.
We need to get an NIL or some collective
over
here.
Jeez.
I think that should be its own brand entirely, separate from the Greg Hill Show. It should be like an understudy.
All right.
I don't know if there's going to be a big, you know, pushback against this. I'm sure the conversations will build as the draft approaches and Dion's there. I know we have a caller. Is it Tim in Hanover who wanted to talk about the nepotism before we get to the break? Tim, you
yep.
there?
Yeah, real quick, guys. I just wanted to bring up the point that, you know what, this nepotism thing with the coaches, that's half the battle. The other battle is if you get a team that has horrible talent to it, that quarterback goes on there, that also ruins them because, you know what, that team isn't able to show this quarterback his abilities, and then what happens is that kid gets blamed for half of the problem. I got two quarterbacks. I just wanted to make this real quick. Two quarterbacks I've been following since college. One of them was Riley Leonard. This kid's going to be a stud. I compared him with Josh Allen, and I got the other one that we have, unfortunately. Hopefully he gets shown. It's going to be the kid that came from Tennessee. He's sitting in our pocket. We got two great quarterbacks
Joe Milton now,
which is Milton. I compared him to Cam Newton when he had a good arm with Carolina, one of his last year at Carolina.
All right, okay. The Riley Leonard kid, I mean, I watched him play. I don't know, Tim, if I would put him in the Josh Allen category. He's a good runner, but I don't know if he throws the ball. He has the accuracy that Josh Allen has. To me, that's going to be the biggest, you know, when you look at the game, Notre Dame versus Ohio State. That's why I said it's going to come down to the play of those two quarterbacks, Riley Leonard versus Will Howard.
One quick comment off of that, Wick. You're right, but you know what? They projected when he went to Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame did not have the same line they had the following year, and that's if he gets a solid offensive line around him, this kid's going to show his ability of just not running. Mm-hmm. He's a smart runner along with a good runner, and he does have a strong arm.
Okay.
And Milton, he's got a killer arm, and this kid can run like Cam Newton.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, he's a hidden prospect that we're blessed to have two great quarterbacks right now in our organization, and they got to develop them and get everything they need for these guys, and then we could have a solid team.
The worst thing that happened at the end of the season was not that the Patriots won and took the number one pick away. It's that the Joe Milton nuts were given an offseason to talk about how the guy is a hidden jewel who's the next coming of Cam Newton.
I like Joe Milton, though. I think here's what I would do with Joe Milton, though. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be the next Cam Newton, but his physical traits remind you of Cam Newton because he's big, he's athletic, he can run. I would play him a lot in the preseason. Highlight him.
100%.
Highlight him and then see if you can get a third or fourth round pick for him. Because where did you draft him in the sixth round?
I would keep him as a backup, man. This kid could be a quality backup.
Jackson, I said thank you to him like 16 times. Okay, I know he's a quality backup.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Joe Milton was great when he was here. There is probably unlucky you're going to find two Hall of Fame or MVP quarterbacks if he's Cam Newton in the sixth round of the draft as the same organization. Just slightly unlikely. I hope he is. He seems like a great guy. I mean, the way he talked about Drake May after that game, the final game of the season, he seems like a guy you can easily root for, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's a little much.
No, but you would say I mean, we don't know what he could be, but you would say just watching him play, and we do it with guys in the preseason.
We get overly excited.
I would just say his skill set has you to go, okay, let's give this kid some more opportunity and see if we can trade him for something. Because obviously you're not going to keep him as a backup because you have Drake May. Unless you decide, oh, he played well, we're going to keep him around and see if we can continue to raise his trade value. But his skill set makes you go, all right, I'd like to see a little bit more of him and what he could potentially be as a
Do you remember who was the most electrifying guy on the Patriots preseason roster last season?
Last season,
Malik Mania. Malik Cunningham.
Yes. Malik Mania.
Do you remember? How could they cut Malik Cunningham? Yeah. What are they doing? And now I don't even know. Is he even in the league anymore? I have no idea.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, that's
Joe Milton seems great. I don't think he's going to be out of the league, but there are people that think he's a great quarterback or could be great, I think, are losing their mind.
Malik Cunningham is with the Ravens.
All right. Still with the Ravens then. Okay, he's been with them for a minute.
Yeah. How many did he play this year?
No, he's not going to play. But sitting behind Lamar Jackson, unless it's,
I mean, I don't know. In any capacity,
they have him as a wide receiver, though.
Oh, okay. Do they? All right. So maybe they move
wide receiver on the Ravens.
Yeah.
Is Zay Flowers in or out? I don't know what's going on.
I think he's
with
still
that.
Out. I saw something based on the injury that he got. It would take him even if
he missed practice again. It's fifth straight practice.
They said that injury would take normally 3 to 4 weeks. So
So all right. Well. Too bad for Zay Flowers, a guy that the Patriots had in their backyard and failed to draft. But other than that, we're going to get to a man who was defined by his unrespected brilliance. That is Jackson. The Jackson Five is next. I don't know how many daughters Jackson made cry, but I do know he's fallen in the shower twice in 3 weeks.
Actually,
how
three
are
times.
We today,
Actually,
Jack?
3 times, because the first time I fell twice in one shower, and then the third time happened with the lady.
Wow.
So my question, you said you were taking pain medication?
Yeah, I took one. Yeah, I had a really bad backache, and I had a leftover pain medication from a dentist.
Gosh.
I only took one.
So,
it was just
one pill, and it made you fall over?
Yeah. I guess it was the I mixed it with ibuprofen, too, right. So and my back hurt like hell, so I was just not agile.
So pain meds, probably like an oxy or something.
Okay.
Did you fall on your back or on your face?
On my back.
Oh, gosh, Jackson.
Wait, so you slip like with your feet in the air and your back hit the ground?
Yeah, I landed kind of like off the shower curtain. Kind of, I kind of held it.
Well, held on
it
to that.
Me down.
Did your head hit anything?
Nope.
Lucky. You better get one of them little bars they put in there.
We got one of those sticky mats for the bottom of the
or tub. A seat. Oh, yeah, that's when
what
you know.
What time
you're
did
really
you
old?
Fall in the shower? What part of the day?
It was Christmas Eve, like 6:30-ish.
Gosh.
6:30 at night on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you had a few pops.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Probably.
Who cares about the ibuprofen pill? What are you talking about? God in heaven.
I will say, though, falls or not, Jackson has been hit after hit this morning. I mean, this might be your best game you've ever played.
Well done, Jack.
Yeah.
Let's not ruin it. Don't fall in the shower now. What's coming up on Jackson 5?
We got Jackson 5 right now.
Greg Hill Show presents the Jackson 5.
Okay, Curtis. You are familiar with the director David Lynch, who just passed away recently, right?
Of course.
Yes. So David Lynch, I was reading a lot of fun facts about him. He turned down the opportunity to direct the film The Empire Strikes Back. Is that true or false?
I'm going to say false.
Courtney?
Yeah, I'll go false.
I'll say true. Because a lot of times you see these like big actors or producers go, man, I had an opportunity and I turned that down.
Mm.
Well, he turned it down, but he didn't turn down the Empire Strikes Back. He turned down the Return of the Jedi, the third Star Wars film.
Oh.
Okay.
So that was, that was good.
Bob Uecker. He just passed away as well. He demanded a case of Milwaukee's best beer in each visiting booth.
True.
I'd say true, right? I'd say true.
I'm going to say true.
That is false.
Oh, wow. Oh.
He did sponsorship with them, but he did not demand beer in every booth.
Oh. What would be on your rider? If you were famous enough to have a rider, what would be your number one thing?
Bustelo coffee.
Oh.
Wow. It's like Cuban espresso. It's friggin' delicious.
Wow.
You are the weirdest, nicest, kindest, strangest person I've ever known.
Yeah. That is weird.
Yeah. Oh, what would be on yours, Curtis?
A Cuban espresso?
Yeah, it's wonderful. I think it might be Brazilian, but yeah. I get the coffee, you know, at Stop and Shop or Star Market all the time. And if something that would make me feel comfortable in a dressing room or a booth that I was visiting would be my home coffee.
All right.
What would be
your rider, Courtney?
Well, for drink-wise, I would want, like, a Diet Coke and ice. And then I would want a blue bottle, a specific coffee, like Jackson, but it would be, you know, a fresh one.
And you know what? There's nothing better than ice cold Coke and pizza.
Mm. That's true. Yeah, I would actually want that for before the performance, mm-hmm. and then after I would want like a Chick-fil-A sandwich and some fries for me.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so
go ahead.
I'm sorry, Curtis. What's on your rider?
No, I just think I had it yesterday. There's something about Snyder's small pretzels that just make everything better. They do. I know they've got, you know, nothing redeemable about them, but a stupendous snack on a flight. Mm. Carry on, Jack.
Okay. Sharks, they are older than trees. True or false?
Wow.
Older than what trees?
Just trees in general?
Trees in general.
That's got to be false, right?
Ooh. Yeah. I would think false, too.
Right?
Sharks been around for a long time. But
what do you mean? Like the species have been around longer than trees?
Yes.
The ocean's been around forever, right?
I would have to imagine that. No, maybe if we were all water, maybe I'll go sharks have been around longer than trees.
Sharks have been around for 450 million years, and trees did not show up until 90 million years after that.
Wow.
Bang.
Okay. That's a good point.
That is really good.
Yeah, we are, 70-80% water, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, and the song Video Killed the Radio Star. Danny Elfman, famed music producer, wrote the Simpsons theme song. He helped write that song. True or false?
And who's the song?
Video Killed the Radio Star.
Radio Star.
I'd have to hear it.
No.
I bet it's a popular
song.
Is it a popular song from the 80s, right?
Video Killed the Radio Star. Yeah, okay, I think it was the first video on MTV.
You're going to have to
play. Do you notice how many of these have morbid ties?
I don't know.
How's that morbid?
And what was the question
again? Video Killed the Radio Star.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
What was the question again?
Danny Elfman, the man who produced the theme song for The Simpsons and a bunch of other theme songs, helped write that song.
I'd say true.
I'm going to go with true.
Okay, well, it was a famous composer, but it was not Danny Elfman. It was Hans Zimmer.
Oh, okay.
Hans Zimmer.
I was going to say Hans Zimmer.
He was in the band The Bungles. Isn't that nuts?
All right, so now you're going to have to kind of come back with that song to just kind of refresh my memory.
You'll know it.
Yep,
you Jackson, are. I would like this segment to be more about you. These questions do nothing for me.
Okay.
So let's do this. What I want to know right now, what was the worst and best moments of your life?
Whoa.
Worst? Worst moment. That's a good one. Probably my dog dying back in 2011.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Or I mean, this past few months has been really scary with my mom in the hospital. So it's been quite a month two.
Curtis, way to make the segment good.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Well, now I want best.
Best.
Come on, Jackson. I know what this one
is. Yeah, it's got to be one. Come on.
I know exactly
Come
what
through
it
with
is.
This.
I know what it is for Jackson because it'd be one of my best moments.
First time having sex?
Oh. No.
There's only one right answer, Jackson.
Yeah, proposing to my fiance?
No, I was going to say working with Howard Stern.
That was cool, but actually working here is like one of the highlights too.
I mean,
it's cool,
yeah, but Howard Stern?
That was fun, yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's like, you know.
I mean, that's a memorable, 4 months for sure. Like that was, that whole quarter of the year was just, you know, surreal almost.
What was the best thing he said to you?
He yelled at me because there was confusion because I stayed on Artie Lane's couch one time and there was confusion. I didn't have a place to stay, but he thought my brother lived in Manhattan. So he brought me in the studio and scolded me for sleeping on Artie's couch, even though I had a brother living in Manhattan, but I didn't. So that was my memorable moment.
See, and then another memorable moment, sleeping on Artie Lang's couch.
Yeah.
How did you not get into that? What was that night like?
That was
this
a
is
fun
far
night.
More interesting.
That was a fun night. I showed up. He lives right outside the ferry stop. And I showed up. I'm on the phone talking to him, and he's looking at me, get off the dock. And he's like, yep, come on in. Come on. Wow. And he's in the penthouse apartment. You can see the entire skyline of New York from right there.
That's pretty cool.
And we watched the Yankees game. I think they played the White Sox. We smoked about two packs of Marlboro Red cigarettes. And then we watched a Who DVD at like top volume until like 11 o'clock at night.
Wow. Dude, that's interesting.
Wow. Do you hear from him ever? Do you ever
Not anymore.
In?
When he was still kind of doing the comedy thing, and every time he came to town, I had comp tickets and backstage and stuff.
Is he doing
what was
good?
Gary Delabate like?
Gary Delabate is awesome. He was a very nice guy. He has a kid named Jackson.
So when you were there, did you get to meet all the whack packers? Like,
oh, yeah.
Did you meet Beetlejuice?
I did meet Beetlejuice, yeah.
Okay.
I saw him fall asleep in the back office. I was sitting there having a conversation with him, and he just goes like this, puts his head down, and falls asleep, starts snoring.
But how is not like that like the best moments? Like, to be on the Howard Stern show?
Did you have like a nickname, like a radio name?
I was the homeless intern because I didn't have a place to stay for one night, and it just stuck.
Wow. All right.
Who was the biggest dink?
Who was Sharon Osbourne was not very nice.
Oh, wow.
And believe it or not, rest in peace, Bob Saget.
Really?
Yeah, he was kind of a jerk. But, everybody has bad mornings.
Yeah.
Well, Jackson, this is what I would love to know. Stories like this, this is awesome. I don't need to know true or false. Okay. I would like to know more about you. You are fascinating.
Yeah, that is. And think about all the people that you met over that time, the interesting stories.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
What
was the year that you were there?
Well, it was 2006.
Oh, wow. Right. No, good. That's good little wheelhouse
time. All right. Well, that is Jackson 5. As always, thank you, Jackson.
Thank you.
Coming up in about a half hour, we will get you ready to bet this weekend with Nick Kostos at 9:30. And next, we're going to hear from the man that broke the news yesterday. We're going to yell at Dakota about his scoop, whether it's real or not. You'll hear from him next.